Back again, another episode. The usual, Shubo is back. NBA is pushing, we know how that goes. Different things have happened in the NBA, like we have trades, the buyout market, KD social media shenanigans with Michael Rapaport, we all know about that. KD misbehaving as usual, nothing new. Russ and Stephen A. Smith going at it. We know how that. And having March Madness, like UCLA banging it out. Like, I didn't expect them as the 11th seed to go that far, or even be in the Final Four. So I'm here with like two of my boys, AY and Daniel. How are you doing today, AY?
I'm doing good, bro. How are you doing, though?
I'm chilling. I'm banging it out as usual. Nothing new in me. Daniel, how about you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So what do you guys feel about the NBA season? AY first. So far, like, what are your thoughts? Is it fun? Is it boring? Is it the same without the fans? Just anything, really.
Man, it's a surprise this season, man. Like, the Jazz, don't know how the Jazz are playing right now, really good. The Knicks, man, the Knicks are fourth. That is crazy. The Mavericks are going down. Portland is trying. The Lakers are fourth. I didn't expect all this, like, ups and downs. Like, the Nets getting Harden, KD, mm-hmm. Kyrie, Aubrey, Griffin.
Mm-hmm. All in 1 year.
All in 1 year.
With no, like, bro, that is tough. That made the season interesting, though.
That's crazy. How about you, Danny? What do you think?
I think this is the first season we're going to have where you don't know who is going to go to the finals. Like, I can see a lot of teams with the potential, but, like, you don't know exactly who's going to be there. So
it's kind of interesting.
Exciting. Yeah, it's very exciting to watch.
There's a spice to it. So, first segment for today, let's start. Trades and buyout markets. Who do you think won the trade deadline? What team do you think won it? Like, they added that piece and that piece is going to change their season.
I definitely think the Bulls did well with getting Vucevic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With Zach LaVine being there, he's already a guy that puts up big numbers. You mm-hmm. know? He's gone from, you know, slam dunk all-star to being an actual all-star, putting up 30 points easily every night.
Mm-hmm.
But then adding Vucevic... who's like a strong player who also puts up big numbers. I think he averages like a 20? Double-double.
Yeah, double-double. Yeah. Solid player.
So adding him to the roster, I think they did well for themselves. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but I see them being a contender.
In the future.
In that, yeah.
How about you, AY? What do you think?
I also think that the Bulls actually won the trade also.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Heat. I think they also won it at the same time because they got Oladipo.
So you think that will change the season?
Yeah, not like practically, yeah, next season or
but
next season.
But they have so many guards. There's too many.
Yeah, yeah. Like I get that, but like Oladipo is a very good addition to the team
mm-hmm.
with Butler, Bam, Dragic, Hero. Like that's really good. Like I feel so. But Bulls, like getting Vucevic was actually mad. And Eric Gordon to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's a good one still.
I feel with AG, they can have anybody. Like, now they have someone that can bang bodies with LeBron, that can bang bodies with Kawhi, and they have Jamal, they have Jokic. We all know Jokic is OP. Like, Jokic is crazy. I think they still have Will Barton. He scores the ball a lot. Even Michael Porter.
Yeah. Michael Porter, that guy,
like,
yeah,
he's a scorer.
Good.
So, I feel like Nuggets 2 also... did well. They definitely did well.
Especially with how they lost Jeremiah Grant
mm-hmm.
to, I believe, the Pistons.
Yeah, Pistons.
He's at the Pistons now, and he was a big help for them over the playoffs. So now adding that like slasher four that can kind of shoot and play defense
mm-hmm.
and grab rebounds is definitely a big asset.
That's not bad. What about Clippers? What do you guys think about Clippers getting run, though? I'm surprised nobody mentioned Clippers.
Clippers getting around doesn't change that much to me.
Really?
Like, they had, like, what do you call it? What's his name? Lou Williams?
Yeah.
He was good, but not as good as Rondo. I won't say that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, getting Rondo doesn't change the fact of, like, I don't think it changes that makes of a difference in what will happen to them. Because they had Kawhi, Paul George. They were a good team already.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot. Last year, they had Montreal Herald, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, they still went out to the Nuggets with that stack team. So, I don't think... Rondo is LeBron that can change a team like that, to be honest.
I don't know about playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo is good. But what can one man do, though?
He's not, has that experience.
He has that experience.
Yeah, the experience
though.
Will help. Kawhi has the experience also, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it still matters on the team.
But Kawhi's not a guard.
So you feel that Rondo can make it, like,
I mean, like,
give them that extra boost.
I mean, for me, Clippers, I feel their problem has been not having a point guard that can... actually run and orchestrate the team. Let's be honest, Pat Bev is not a point guard.
They don't have a playmaker.
They don't have a playmaker.
They are Chris Paul in 2015, 16, 17.
But that's a different team. That's a different team.
Yeah, in that different team, they still have mad people like them. Blake Griffin is
prime. Yeah, but
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Who else can I mention that I actually remember?
to me, I'm just hitting on the Clippers now.
I'm just saying, right now, you can only see to the playoffs what they can do. I feel the Clippers and the Bucks are in the same thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably win the East or the West or what, but when it comes to the playoffs, they just don't perform well.
I see what you're saying.
I feel that, but Rondo, like, respect Rondo. We saw what Rondo did last year. Rondo was the best player, was the third best player with Lakers when they won the championship last year. Although he was not scoring, but the way he read the game, way he saw the game was, is a different dimension, because my problem with Clippers is that they've never had a point guard that can actually run the ship. Like, Kawhi is not a point guard per se. He's a scorer. He's a good small forward. Same with PG. They are not point guards that can actually run the show and do it for others.
And the thing is, they're not ball dominant.
Exactly.
They don't have that ball dominant guard who wants to have the ball in their hand. Kawhi can score 30 points and not touch the ball. Paul George can score 30 points and not touch the ball either.
Facts.
But if you have like a James Harden, then things get interesting.
True. So we touched on the Heat. Do you think they can win?
The Heat?
Yeah. Do you think they can even win a second round playoff?
I think they can win the playoff, but I don't think they'll make it to the finals.
They have Iggy. Iguodala.
Iguodala, like
African brother. Andre.
Like, having Iggy won't change or anything. Like, I think like last year was your best chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll make it this year because everything is stacked right now.
First.
And in the West, I don't think they'll pass the second round, to be honest.
That's what people said last year. Everything was stacked last year. You see how the Heat just crept up.
Yeah, what I'm saying, like that. But I don't think that same magic or whatever they did will happen this time.
Okay.
Facts. What about Nuggets? You think they can actually leave the West?
Yeah, they can. Like
they can win it.
Like, that guy is OP as a center. He is, dominates the floor. He leads the Nuggets in every.
Yeah, in every statistical category. Yeah,
like,
it does.
That's crazy. Oli, it does. And he's a center.
It does.
I thought it would be Jamal Murray, but like, it's him. And he was a second round pick. Nuggets actually.
Yeah, it does.
He got to steal.
Like if LeBron, AD don't come back 100% with Clippers putting, like, playing well, Nuggets can actually have them. Even Suns. Like, Suns are playing well, but I still don't see them doing anything in the playoffs.
But look at the difference between last year and this year. What was the addition that they added to the Suns that made them this good?
CP.
It was just CP, right?
Yeah.
And look at how good they are right now.
Yeah, because they actually have a point guard. That shows the importance of a point guard on the team.
Yeah, but this regular season doesn't determine your postseason.
Okay, boss.
Fair enough.
True.
But you know, CP3 was also there when the Warriors beat Houston.
Yeah, he was there. I'm just saying, regular season, right? Doesn't still change. I'm just saying that adding CP3 to the Suns is a very good addition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very good for
the regular season.
But we now have to see the playoffs and see how they all react.
I feel like CP3 reacts properly in the
CP3 is a playoff caliber player. Like, exactly. He doesn't shy away from the moment. Like, CP3 is going to ball out. Like, even look at that last series where they played Warriors, I think 2017. They could have won. They were 3-1 up.
Yeah.
As CP3 popped his hamstring and everything came crumbling down, I feel they could have beaten the Warriors then, but let's not underestimate what CP3 brings to the team. Even with OKC nearly beat Houston last year with CP3 and Lou Dort. Like, CP3 is actually a playoff caliber player. He's getting old, blah, blah, blah. But let's respect CP3, please.
Now, respect CP3. I'm not saying respect him. But I'm saying, like, in the postseason, it's always different than the regular season itself.
Different. I know.
Like,
CP3, I know.
Even with all the experience and everything he has, right, for the past 17 seasons, has he won a ring at least? Let me just, like...
No, like...
But he has tried. He has gone to the finals.
Yeah.
Has he?
No, he has. I don't think he has gone to a conference finals before. I'm not too sure. I don't think he has ever gone to a conference final. I think he has in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to a conference final.
Golden State was a conference
That was a conference final.
That's why I gave him that, but, like, now, let's see how you perform in the Suns. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, these are our first season with him.
Do you think the Suns are a sleeper team?
Yeah, I think they're a sleeper team. Devin Booker is hot.
Kind of like Denver Nuggets last year.
I feel that, like, the Suns can do that.
First. So, Lakers got Andre Drummond. What do you think about that?
That is a very good addition.
Why?
Because that guy's a rebound master.
Yes, sir. We know.
He knows what he's doing at the center. Like.
And especially with what they lost, too. They lost 2 7-footers.
McGee.
And
Dwight.
Dwight. So now adding Drummond with Montrezl Harrell, those are two. They're not the biggest guys,
but they're dominant.
Very paint dominant, so it's gonna be a good look for them.
Do you think you get them over the hump to get them to the conference finals and even the finals itself?
Yeah, I think they can. Yeah, Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell are really good as a center. They are right now compared to last season on Dwight and McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel that they're probably together. They're probably better than McGee and Dwight right now.
That's interesting.
So you think
I wouldn't go that far.
So you think Dwight?
Dwight?
No, I'm not saying Dwight in his prime. I'm saying Dwight of last season. Okay, Dwight. Last season.
I feel like the Lakers didn't utilize Dwight to his full potential.
Yeah, but they still won the ring regardless.
Why do this thing? But like,
he did his job, him and McGee, right?
Yeah.
But like, looking statistically with Dwight and McGee compared to Montrezl Harrell and Andre Drummond,
they do have the better stats.
That's what I'm comparing it to on the facts that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. I feel they are probably better with those kind of centers right now than they were with last season.
That's very interesting. I mean, I respect Drummond, but I don't feel taking Drummond and Harrell and comparing it to McGee and Howard, I don't think they are better, that is a better pair than Dwight and McGee. Like, McGee and Dwight, although they might not be the passers that, because they got Marc Gasol as a passing
center,
to orchestrate to anchor that pick and roll in the post, to anchor that, but he can't bang in the post.
No.
Like, he can't, it's too old.
He's not the most athletic.
So, I feel Ropelinka made a mistake in that, but getting Drummond is certainly a good deal. Like, he's a big ad. I would love to see how LeBron and AD integrate themselves with playing with Drummond. And it's also good because AD doesn't have to play the five now. AD can play the four as he likes. Like, he enjoys that power forward.
Yeah.
That power forward stuff. So, I feel it's like, I really don't know if he gets them over the hump. Like, the West is crazy.
For the Lakers, they just have to figure out their second team, like their bench. They have to figure out their bench. With Dennis Schroeder, I don't know what's going on. The team just seems so disorganized to me. Like, when LeBron and AD come back, they have to have a system in place where it's like, okay, if LeBron and AD can go out, we're covered. Because right now, things are all over the place with them.
Like, even KCP. KCP is not who we thought. Like, KCP was good in playoffs last year, but looking at him this year, his stats are not all that crazy. So it would be interesting to see. I'm surprised the Nets got Aldridge. What do you think about them adding Aldridge?
I feel like, I don't think that's a really, like, Aldridge is, I don't think it's as good as he was before.
Definitely.
So that's what makes it, like,
But that's what people don't get. They don't need Aldridge to be a 20 per game scorer. Like, I don't need that from you. If you can give me 10 points per night, that's okay. Like, they don't need Aldridge to be playing 30 minutes for, they don't need him for that. Like, people are saying Aldridge, Blake Griffin is not the player they once was. Half of Blake Griffin is better than some starting caliber players. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Let's be honest. But we've put the likes of Blake Griffin and Aldridge on some high pedestal that once they drop off, like, their body gets old and we think they are shit. But let's be, like, these players are still caliber players. What do you think about Aldridge?
And I think he's motivated. He's come to a team where he actually sees himself getting a ring. So I think I won't be surprised if Aldridge drops a 30-point game here and there. I won't be surprised. I remember the first time I watched Aldridge play, I was like, yo, this guy's shooting over everybody. Like, you know when someone backs you up in the post, turns around and shoots over you. I was like, Aldridge, how long has Aldridge
been in the Spurs?
He's been in the league for a minute.
I'm pretty sure he was at Portland at one point. Then he left to Spurs. I'm really not sure. Yeah, but yeah, Aldridge has been there for a minute.
So he didn't play with Duncan. Damian Lillard when he was in his
career.
So he didn't play with Duncan.
Duncan was there too.
Duncan was there, but the latter years,
not in
his prime. Like, I feel it's interesting what Nets have done, man. Like, they've really stacked up. I seen someone come for KD saying, oh, KD's buying rings. And KD was like, I'll never achieve anything I want to do on this earth alone. What do you think about that statement? Do you buy into that? Or as a superstar, you don't have to be buying rings per se by ganging up and meeting players? You think KD should not have acquired the likes of Aldridge, the likes of Blake, the likes of Harden? What do you feel? Do you feel the ring is less of value now that he has those guys?
No. At the end of the day, people are going to look back 20 years from now. Kevin Durant, 5-time champion. We don't know about his teams. We just know he had 5 championships.
Facts.
So So what? He went to Golden State, who wiped him 3-1 before. He still has a ring from them. And now with this team, with all these all-stars, he's still going to be there as a champion.
Facts, facts, facts. What do you think?
I feel like that's true. Like, this thing that you need, like, to have a good team, you have to have good players.
Yeah.
Without good players, like, or great players, how, you're not going to win. That is the truth.
Yeah.
Like, that's saying, if you can't beat them, join them. Like, that's the thing. Like, Tom Brady, like, has the good teams in the NFL. He needs good players around him.
Oh, yeah, he got Rob, he got AB.
He needs good players around him to win.
Yeah.
Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green at that time, 2015, was a beast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone was playing well. Like, so you need good players around. So I don't get the statement of that you must be a lone superstar.
I think for them, it's just they feel like he's recruiting all these people.
But that's what you're meant to do. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. That one makes you, like, that what, if you recruit good players, right, you have the probability of winning the ring more.
Okay. Makes sense.
So, like, Kevin Durant going to Golden State, so everyone now knew they were unbeatable.
Yeah.
Already. So that made it, like, easier for them to win rings.
Yeah.
So you just know, I can get a ring. They can go to a final 5 times in a row if they wanted to. And they'll go. And no one will stop them.
Facts. I mean, I feel we're on the same page as that. But, like, I mean, all these old heads coming from Michael Jordan's era, I'll say, Jordan didn't team up with other guys. These guys didn't team up with this person. But, like, it is what it is. You have to do what you need to do to win. Because it's these same guys that will come and say, this guy does not have a chip to his name. Like, AI. They throw AI because he doesn't have a ring. But we know how great AI was. We know how great Chuck was. Yeah. Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing. But these guys don't have a ring and they don't look at them the same. So, I'm totally on board with, like, do what you have to do to win. Because 10 years from now, it's not going to really matter per se.
Michael Jordan also has great players around him.
Yeah, that's what people fail to understand.
Scott Pippen and Dennis Rodman.
It's just like Dennis Rodman was the one person that came in. Scott Pippen and Michael Jordan were already there. So it's like they view it like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry were already there.
But that's
coming into the team that bothers them.
That doesn't make sense. Because like you have great, if a great player should come the next season or the season after, it doesn't change the fact that you got the player and which made your team better.
Facts.
Did you guys see some of the memes? It was like Thanos is signing a 4-year contract with the Nets. Like everybody's
joining the Nets.
Everybody's just joining the
Nets. Who wants to join the Nets now?
At this point, Richard Jefferson might come out of retirement and join the Nets.
Just to win a ring. Yeah. It's interesting,
Paul
man.
Gasol, everybody, just come join the Nets. Dirk Nowitzki, you too. Just come. Come sit on our bench.
It's interesting. So let's move into KD and his social media shenanigans. What do you guys feel about KD using social media?
To be honest, I don't see why KD does all that, because why is he using a burner account all the time? At first, before people caught him, like, there was no need. Why couldn't he just use a normal account to say all those things without hiding himself?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point of that? That's what I'm saying. Like, LeBron James, I don't think LeBron James can ever use a burner account and to do all those kind of things, or we just don't know of, or he has been cut off, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But still, like, if LeBron James wants to express himself, or Stephen Curry, like, high superstars, they normally say from their face, like, from their own account, from themselves. But KD using a burner account, to me, that doesn't make sense.
So you feel KD is sensitive?
Yeah, he's too sensitive on that. Like, on anything they say about him, anything they say that, if they say KD is trash, he'll take it deep.
But is that a bad thing? I don't feel being sensitive is a bad thing, because I feel people are putting KD in a box where they're saying he's a superstar and you shouldn't react this way. Like, normal people will react that way. Like, if you come at me, I'll literally talk.
And KD is like that. He himself said he likes to come back at people who get at him. And he says for him, he has the time, like, so he doesn't care.
Like, it's facts. But even, like, talking about that, something happened with KD and Michael Rapaport. They were going back and forth. And KD was abusing him. KD basically threatened him, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this whole scenario was very funny to me. Daniel, what do you think about that scenario? Whose side are you on?
I'm on, to be honest, I can't even pick a side. I'm on KD's side just for the fact that, like, if something is being handled online and it's being handled between two people, there's no need on, like, blowing it up first, and, like, spreading it out.
That I agree with. There's no, like, Mike bro street code. Like, we're going back and forth. Like, exactly. you were coming at me too. Exactly. Like, what do you mean you go take screenshots and start showing the world? Like, that shouldn't be done. So
exactly
on that, Mike is wrong. But
like, I feel like someone needs to reach out to Kevin Durant's mom and, like, take tell her to take his phone from him, because this guy, like, I don't know what's wrong with him. He should just not be with social media.
Like I said, like, he likes commenting a lot.
That's fair. But KD came out and said he's very sorry that people shouldn't have seen that, him talking in that manner. He apologized to the public, but he didn't really apologize for his actions. What do you feel about that? Because basically, from his apology, he said, "I'm sorry that this behavior was put out in the public." Do you think that apology is very apt in that situation, or KD still doing it, didn't really apologize for what he did? To me, he just apologized for, "Oh, you guys caught me. I'm not meant to be talking like this in the public." That's what he apologized for. Do you feel he owes us more of a solid apology, or that apology is good enough?
I feel it was more of a solid apology, though. But like you said, it was between two of them, two grown men, right? So, like, I don't know why Michael Rapaport did all that, like, screenshotting it. That doesn't make sense. Because
mm-hmm.
why? Because he was abusing, like, KD also in the chat.
They were going back and forth. Yeah.
So I didn't see the point of him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So which made, like, why is he apologizing to us? That's what I'm saying. Why us?
Because... like in the public, you shouldn't be like the public shouldn't see him behaving like that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Because let's
more about the language.
More about the language, the homophobic slurs, that and all that. But to me, KD is like, because let's be honest, there's a way we act when we're in private that in most situations you don't want people to see.
Yeah,
okay, people you are not comfortable with. Like, there's some things you say with your boys that, if you're in a public setting,
you can't say it.
And you go out and you say those things, like, people will look at you like, what are you saying? Like, everyone has that private life, and I feel KD has, like, people should respect that privacy.
Yeah.
As long as that privacy is not hurting anybody, as long as it's not killing anybody. Like, even if threats are bad, like, it's very bad. Because KD probably threatened him, like, you'll pull up at 17th Street in New York, like, let's talk. And threats are bad. Like, I'll never allow anybody, like, threatening anyone, because you can put that to court of law. Like, you can't just be threatening anybody. Like, that's a big deal. But personally, I don't feel, me, I love KD, so I'm very, maybe you can say I'm sentimental, but like, KD is just like every other person.
Yeah, I think that apology was enough. I think all of that, that stuff is all private. So when it was not released, it was like...
That then became bad because we saw it.
Yeah.
But if no one saw it...
Then we wouldn't be talking about
it. Yeah, that's so, Michael Rapaport for doing that.
But he called out Michael Rapaport's wife. Do you feel there's a...
Okay, I don't feel this.
Do you feel there's a line where, okay, like, you cross the line, or once you start going back and forth with someone, there's no line, like, all things are untouchable. What do you feel about that, Daniel?
I feel like... I feel like if you can't dish it, don't take it. Like, if you can't take it, don't dish it. So if I hope KD has, like, sense, but, like, he probably does have sense. If they were making jokes like that, and then he came out with, you know, what he said, then he doesn't just come up with that randomly. So I'm assuming that whole, like, going at each other was with what he said. It was correlating. Like, he didn't just come out of nowhere and just say what all the misogynistic and slurs and all that he said. So I'm assuming that there is a line, but, like, you guys set the line. Like, the two people involved are...
How do you set that line, though? Because when people are going back and forth, they don't say, "Oh, this is not what we're going to talk. We're not going to talk about this." Like, they're not going to say, "Oh, we're not going to talk about my mom." Like, when you guys are going back and forth, I'm pretty sure no one says, "Oh, I'm not going to talk about my mom." Like, so how do you set that line?
I mean, it depends on the situation.
What do you mean?
Gangster rules.
Like, on the situation.
Expand on that, boss.
Like, you know, it depends on the topic also. Like, how, like, if you react, like, if you text someone something, right?
Yeah.
And they text you back. Depends on how you're texting each other. So at the first, right, let's assume, like, you say a word.
Yeah.
That the person now says, "Oh, shit, like, it's too deep. It's too deep. Like, you can't do this." That's when I feel like, is okay, that deep? Okay. But between KD and Michael Rapaport, they were going back and forth. He didn't back down.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he went to do all that of posting it and all that. If he was going back and forth to KD, I didn't see the point of that.
But, like, I heard on the talk show today, like, someone said, like, the line's usually drawn at family. Like, once you cross into, like, the wives, daughters, mothers, okay. Like, that's my family. If you want to talk, like, it's between me and you. Let it just be solely between me and you. Don't come at my family. That's what I've heard from.
Okay. Well, maybe that's true.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Well, I'm just saying that nobody really says this is not what we're going to talk about. But I guess that as human beings, we should kind of know that there's a certain level of. So do you think Michael is justified? Because Katie came for his wife, and he posted it. Do you think he's still justified or he's still not justified? Your last talk on that.
No, Katie should not have come for his wife. Did he come for his wife for real? I mean,
do you feel Michael is justified?
Oh, Michael is justified
for still putting out those screenshots, even though like Katie came for his wife.
No,
you don't think so.
No.
No,
because he's telling the internet to fight his battles for him. What do you mean? Like, okay, so you put on screenshots because someone was talking to your wife, so you want me at home to go online and like fight your battles for you? It's not gonna work that way.
Like, first, and I'm pretty sure it's because it's KD. Like, if Michael was going back and forth with another random dude, he's not going to post screenshots of.
Of course,
it's clout chasing. It's just you can say it's clout chasing, getting some publicity. So. Me personally, just my last take on this, Mike, first of all, Michael broke street code, like I said earlier. Like, you don't do that. You never do anything like that. But yeah. KD, personally, he should know better.
Yeah.
He should know better. But I also understand where KD is coming from. It's like, yo, we're just going back and forth at each other. Like, when we're tired, we'll go sleep. I didn't expect you to go whine about this on social media like a little.
Yeah
exactly. So don't do that. But that's really much on that. KD should watch how he uses social media. But me, I enjoy it, man. Like, I don't get why guys complain. Like, KD is one of my best players. Like, he's just a normal guy like us. Like, if you're talking back at that, I'll talk back at you. Like, I have bad time too. Like, don't just come at me and think that I'll be quiet. So
that makes sense.
That's just my take on that. Another interesting thing happened. What do you guys think about Ross and Stephen A. Smith? So let me even like give you guys the backstory. So Ross dropped like a 35-20-20 triple double, I believe, against the Hornets. I'm not too sure. And so they talked about it the next day on First Take. And Stephen A. Smith was like, basically in a nutshell, everything that Ross is doing doesn't move him. Because he expects that from Ross. And he carefully stated that he's not saying Ross is a bad person, but everything Ross did, he doesn't care as long as he doesn't have a championship to show for it. Like, he barely even called Ross the most athletic point guard he has ever seen. So what he is saying is that Ross is... he's doing all that, but I'm not moved. Like, he has nothing to show for it.
It doesn't motivate
him. Like, he's not new. Like, we've seen him average a triple-double the year after KD left. Like, we know Ross can do this, so why should we be moved? So, what do you guys think about that? Do you think Ross's career is a failure without a ring, or we should still... I mean, do you feel his career is a failure?
I don't think his career is a failure. I just think it's a big negative.
On him?
On him. I don't know. Like, people look at Allen Iverson, they say that guy crossed over Michael Jordan. But, like, he doesn't have a ring, so it's like he didn't really prove to be champion of the NBA. Like, if you're going to be the top at a... if you want to be the best at a sport, you win the championship. That's what it is. We have people like Lewis Hamilton, who wins how many championships in F1. We have people, Mike Tyson, Tom Brady, like, these are champions. So those are the top players at that sport. Russell Westbrook is a top player at basketball, but it doesn't, like, it's not, he's not solidified at that position without a ring. Like, he needs a ring, at least one.
Fair enough. Ace Man says rubbish sometimes.
How?
Like, in one day, when Kyrie was going through his personal things, right? He told Kyrie that he was telling Kyrie to retire. Mm-hmm. A month later, he said Kyrie for MVP.
I mean, but, like, that's the thing. Like, Stephen A. Smith comes from this kind of person. Is like, okay, let me talk about Kyrie first. Kyrie is the kind of person that treats basketball like is not as serious as it should be.
Yeah.
That's where Kyrie is coming from. Let's just divert from this topic a bit.
Okay.
Like, that's... Kyrie doesn't take basketball as, basketball, like, today I don't feel like playing, I'm not going to play. Like, the day my head is not there, I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
And that rubs different people the wrong way. Because if message is like, yo, they are paying you to show up. Like, you won't say, I don't feel like going to work this day.
Yeah.
You won't show up like on a regular 9-to-5 setting. You won't say, oh, I don't, we are working a full-time job for 40 hours. You don't say, oh, I don't feel like going to work this day. Fuck it. But because it's basketball, you can do that. But that's basically what I'm saying. But let's go back to Russ. What do you think about Russ's career?
Russ's career is actually kind of, it's actually excellent to me, to be honest. Just that the ring, just a major setback at him.
Yeah.
Because
especially, especially with the fact that KD has won a ring, Harden, if everything goes well, might win a ring, and all these guys play together. So yeah.
Yes, like, the obvious, exactly. That would look bad on Russ. Because the thing is that if you're comparing yourself among great players, that is good. Like, you compare KD, like you say, we're comparing Harden, Russ, and KD together, and they're all great players.
Yeah.
That is good. Someone averaging a triple double, like, for, let's assume, for 10 games, you think that's already crazy. Russell Westbrook averaged a triple double for 3 seasons straight.
Madness.
That is madness already. So I don't think anyone could probably do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, I feel his career is actually good. It's great. Mm-hmm. Just that the major setback is the ring.
Yeah, so
that, I mean, that's really fair. But to me, like, I'm always telling guys that you shouldn't use ring to judge people's careers. Like, I'm a big guy of telling people that not everyone can win a ring. Like, if everyone could win a ring, it wouldn't be that special.
That's true.
Like,
that is very true.
Like, the reason why winning that's a ring is special is because it's certain, some players have it, some players don't. Like, winning a ring is a big deal, but let's not use that to judge Russ's career. But to say that, I feel Russ has let himself down a lot of times. Not that he did that on purpose, but yo, Russ has played with great players. He played with KD.
Yeah.
He played with Harden.
Yeah.
He played with Vic. Yeah. He played with Melo.
Yeah.
He played with Paul George.
Yeah.
So let's not act like Russ hasn't had players with him. Like, Russ has had standout players. He played with Serge Ibaka, who won a championship in Toronto. With Kawhi. So let's not act like
so
Russ.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
What me I'm saying right now is that Russ has let himself down. Because looking at Russ, I've watched Russ a lot. Like, OKC was the first team I really fell in love with watching basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant is the reason I love KD. I'm a big KD fan. So I really followed that OKC team. And looking at Russ, like, Russ is the kind of person that when you need him to do less,
he does more
than you need him to do.
That's Russell Westbrook. So that's true.
When you need him to do less, say, guy, take a back seat. Like, let KD do his thing.
He wants to do more. And that's not good.
And that just messes up the whole thing. Like, it's not like Russ is a bad person. Like, Russ is very good to watch. Like, there are a few ferocious players.
Yeah.
More than Russ, that you're like, oh, this guy is giving 1,000% every single day.
He's been athletic for like 10 years. Like, he's been Russell Westbrook for 10 years.
This guy has been giving 1,000. But that's one thing, like I said, when you need him to do less, he does more. Like the games against, when it was with Kevin Durant.
Against Golden State?
Yeah, give Durant the ball. Let Durant do what he needs to do.
But he doesn't want to do that.
And it's not like it's a bad thing, because it takes that upon himself. It's a different kind of mentality for you to have to be like, oh, I can do this thing. But you also have to realize that, oh, there are better players in this position that can do this better than I can do.
Yeah.
Now, that's what Golden State used to trample upon them.
And that's just my biggest thing on Russ. Because Russ is a good player. Let's not act like Russ is not a good player. And even talking about that, Russ was a reply saying that he's a champion at life. He doesn't need any rings to
justify,
to validate anything that Stephen A. Smith said. Just to, like, kind of end on that, do you feel like Russ is even playing with Bill now?
Yeah.
Like, I even forgot to mention Bill. Like, he's playing with Bradley Bill now. Bradley Bill is, I think,
underrated.
Bro, Bill's scorer, like, professional scorer, get buckets on your ass any day. Like,
of course.
Bill is crazy. So, like, Russ has let himself down a lot. Let's just say that, like, he has really
that's true. But like, for a ring, for you to get to a ring, like, is that job, right? So your angle is to get the ring. It's only the great players. No, no, so what's the angle of basketball?
No, no, no. The angle is not to get a ring.
So what's the angle?
It's to make money, bro. You can make that argument. I can make this argument too.
Why?
See, these NBA players do not. Some of them care for. Some of them want rings. They chase rings, but most of them
just want the money. But I'm saying
it's the money. It's the generational wealth.
So what is your job? What's your goal for this job?
The job is for the fans. It's entertainment. At the end of the day, it's a business.
The players, everything is business. Let's not. Okay. Everything is business.
Yeah.
But for the players themselves, why the Nets sign all these players then? For what reason?
The organization of course,
they are paying them a lot.
A ring. Yes. Organizations want a ring. But at the end of the day, just because you have a ring doesn't mean you're going to sell more tickets.
No, you're not. Doesn't change the fact.
I bet they're still selling out Golden State's arena. Them niggas haven't won a ring in how many years?
Just two.
Exactly. But they're still selling out. So you can't say the main goal is to
but
get a
before
ring.
Golden State won the ring,
yeah,
before they started winning rings, yeah. I'm sure they were not selling out, were they?
No.
So after 2015, after that miracle decision that they had, after they won the ring, that's when I'm sure they started selling out, right?
Yeah.
So when I'm like, if you win a ring, I'm sure your publicity, your revenue, all that increase.
Yeah, definitely. Well. But let's not act like Toronto didn't win a ring. Like, what changed for Toronto?
Like Toronto.
That's true.
Like, let's not act like they didn't win a ring. Let's not act like they didn't win a ring for 2019.
I haven't been to the Toronto game until today.
Like, it's crazy because, like, all these players in the US never want to come to Canada to play. Like, let's just digress because of the flying, blah, blah, blah,
the weather,
blah, blah, blah. Nothing changed for Toronto. Like, winning a ring and selling more tickets and making more money is not really, they are not the same. They are mutually exclusive, I may say. They are like, you don't have to do that. But let's even go back to what we were saying about, what were we talking about, Russ. What are your last takes on Russ?
I feel Russ is a great player, to be honest. He's a great player.
Yeah, Hall of Fame bound.
Hall of Fame, but like, you see that criteria of that ring that might not make it for him. But if, like, that's what I feel. But with, like, statistically, everything wise, like, he will make Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Like, I give him 80% sure, 80.
Okay. Now, I have a hypothetical, like, just a question of what if the GM of OKC at that time traded Harden. Do you feel if he had left Harden and Durant instead of Russ and Durant, do you think they would have won a chip?
Yes, they would have.
You think so?
Yes.
Harden and Durant?
Instead of Russ and Durant. Why do you think so, Daniel?
I don't think so.
Okay, they wouldn't have won a ring immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because Harden was... He was Harden, but he wasn't the Harden we know today. Harden at that point was a catch and shoot 3-and-D kind
of
guy.
Six man of the year.
Exactly.
Kind of player, yeah.
So, it would have taken a year or a year or two for Harden to develop, but with Harden's passing skills and Durant's shooting skills, they would have won easily.
I think so too.
Maybe they could have gone far. Maybe they could have gone far.
No, they would have won.
They would have won.
I was thinking
of
the Harden of the present. Because the Harden of the present is different. Like, before I saw him, like, right? Like, how he plays right now that he's passing the ball, averaging the assist. Harden of 2017, 18, bro, Harden needs to have, like, 50% of the possession.
But I always, even to pick bank or that, I always knew Harden could be that player. Like, I said it on my...
I didn't think Harden could be
I said a long time ago that Harden playing like that is a product of Mike D'Antoni.
That Mike D'Antoni offense.
Yeah, that's just Harden, but...
Okay,
that's just Harden. So I always knew Harden had that passing ability. Like, people forget Harden averages like 8 assists per for his career. I think, I'm not too sure, for his career average, like 8 assists, that's high. Right now he's averaging double assists and it looks like he's not even trying. So I definitely feel they could have definitely won. That's a
big, Harden better. I feel he's a better probability.
He's a better player. Harden is a better all-round player than Russ. So
I think probability of them winning would have been higher though.
That's that on that, man. I love Russ. Russ is going to go to the Hall of Fame. Nothing of Russ, but I'm the kind of person that can say two things can be true. You can be an exceptional player, but you can also have some bad traits that let you down when your team needs you the most. Like, two things can be true. It doesn't take anything away from Russ.
True.
Never. So that's that on Russ. So last segment, March Madness, Final Four going down. Who do you have? Gonzaga or UCLA?
Daniel.
UCLA, I'm telling you, I watched these boys. I watched every game that they played. I watched it and I was rooting for the other team. And they won. First of all, they played my Michigan State. They played them for the first four, and it was a play-in tournament to get into the 64 bracket, and they beat Michigan State, and I was surprised. I was like, "What UCLA?"
Oh, Michigan State. That's Tom Izzo.
Yeah, Tom. They beat a Tom Izzo team, and I was like, to beat Tom Izzo, I think. In previous years, it was a lot harder, but his teams are still always very tough and very gritty.
Yeah, gritty, yeah.
So when they beat Michigan State, at that point, I was like, yo, any team that beats UCLA, I'm rooting for them, because I just did. I was so mad that they beat Michigan State, even though Michigan State had no chance going far into this tournament.
Much more in this tournament.
But UCLA, they beat Michigan, Juwan Howard's team.
I was surprised about that.
That went undefeated for, like, I don't know how many weeks, and... Oh my, I watched them play. They have a special player in Johnny Juzang.
Juzang, crazy. Funny thing is that Juzang was actually playing in Kentucky. I didn't know that. I saw that on Instagram. Like, Juzang played in Kentucky. I didn't know that.
He played the year before for John Calipari. But like, he used him as like a...
bench player?
A bench player, yeah. Like, he just used him to come in, shoot some threes, play some defense, and go back on the bench. So when I heard he moved to UCLA, I was like, oh, wow. They actually moved him. And then when I heard he was averaging what he was averaging, I was like, oh, this guy is actually balling out. Because when I saw him on Kentucky, he didn't really have the ball with him as much, because he had, you know, Kentucky, they have big guards, Maxi.
Quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm rooting for UCLA against Gonzaga for sure. But, man, that Gonzaga team.
Gonzaga crazy, man. Suggs.
I feel like they're cheating.
Jalen Suggs, top five pick easy. Like, Suggs is crazy.
We're undefeated.
Yeah, but, like, UCLA removed Alabama and Michigan. And that is tough. That is tough.
That Alabama win is crazy.
Alabama is with Javon. It's in Javon, right? That's with this guy, Jelly Fan.
Yes.
That is tough to remove two of them.
And Petty. That's it. That Alabama team shoots.
That Alabama team, they don't want to miss. They just don't want to miss. But they play good basketball. So I don't know what, like, I think UCLA might be like Gonzaga. Like, I think they might win them. But like, we'll see.
So you have UCLA.
I have UCLA.
You have UCLA too.
I have UCLA.
Man, I'm going with Zags, man. Zags, let's go.
Same choice.
Jalen Suggs, my boy. I know they won't let me down, man. Mark Twain, like Drew Timmy. Like, those guys will go. So Houston Baylor.
Ooh.
I think Baylor.
You think Baylor?
I think Baylor, bro.
They were undefeated for a long period of time too, and then they lost like a lot of games towards the end of their season. But that Houston team. With what's his name? With coach Calvin, I can't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
But that Houston team, they have a senior, Jarrell.
Yeah, Jarrell is good.
And he's been beasting. And this guy is playing injured. He's not playing 100% healthy, but he's beast. Like, he has locked down the top players of everyone that they've played against, from Arkansas all the way down. So I'm hoping to see Houston in the finals.
But Baylor, I feel they're more clutch than Houston, though. Like, if they need to win, I think they'll win.
Baylor's guards are very strong.
Like, if they need to win, like, apart from the games we were losing, right? Like, that was like the season. Like, you could lose games at the season. No one cares.
From a COVID break.
Yeah, no one cares. Like, you could lose like four games, but when it's time to get serious, like the postseason, that's when I feel like that's when good teams now show themselves.
Yeah. Hmm. But my problem is with Baylor, if their guards don't do well, they don't do well. And it's for both teams. With Houston too, if their guards don't do well, they don't do well.
That's
so, like, it's going to be a battle of the guards.
With Gonzaga, if their guards don't do well,
their big boys will pick up. The funny thing is, UCLA, they don't have big boys
They don't have big boys to guard. So
we'll be surprised and see.
Juzang has to come crazy, but it's definitely an interesting final four. For this, I probably have Houston. H-Town, you know.
We'll see.
Really nothing. So, we're about to end today's episode. So, I'll just ask you guys some quick-fire questions. Daniel, what's your best starting five in NBA history?
Okay. It's going to be a very quick. First, I'm taking my boy Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6'9", point guard. For shooting guard, we're going to go with... Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with Ray Allen for my shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
For a shooting guard, I just want a guy who can shoot. Who can shoot with his eyes closed. I don't care.
I'm surprised.
Any guy that can shoot with his eyes closed. He doesn't need to make shots. I want someone, or maybe Klay Thompson. Someone who could just shoot. That's my shooting guard. Small forward, LBJ, easily. Power forward, we would have to get Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm. Big fundamental.
Center, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Not bad.
Thank you for my TED Talk.
EY, what do you have?
Mine is simple. Light walk. You know, the first two, I have to go with Steph and Klay.
Really?
I'll go with Steph and Klay.
You're really disrespecting Jordan, right?
You guys are disrespecting Jordan, MJ.
Jordan fans see, are in
MJ didn't play this game we love.
See, I love MJ, right? Uh-huh. But I just like, I like Curry's game
like
more.
The
I like the package like together. The package, like, yes. I like the combination together. That's why I'm picking both of them. Because two of them are good together. Yeah. So I'll take two of them. Not because they are better than MJ or AJ have been better than MJ. Just because I like how they play together. That's why. And then my small forward, everyone should like already know that now, LeBron James.
Yes, sir.
Power forward. Can I say Tim Duncan? Tim Duncan is great.
Yeah.
He's great.
Mm-hmm.
He's
the greatest. Not AD, your boy AD.
AD in between, like Tim Duncan is prime. No. Center, Shaq. I don't know who's beating Shaq in that center in his prime.
That's fair. So one more question before we round up. Who's your most underrated player in the league? That you guys don't respect this guy, like you guys are sleeping on this guy. Like, who's your most underrated player in the league?
Who actually? There are many, to be honest.
Just one though.
I feel Bradley Beal.
Mm.
Because Bradley Beal, like he can, I think this guy can average like 30 points in a season.
But is he really underrated?
They don't rate to the point where he's
getting his flowers now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, but like
where it's coming from.
Snobs, like he's meant, they are an all-star day in and day out.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because it's compared to the like the players in that league. Like he's in the West, right? Or is it the East?
He's in the East.
I don't know which. How many guys are better than Bradley Beal in the East?
Probably Kyrie.
Kyrie. Who else?
Harden.
Harden recently, but before Harden came.
Antetokounmpo.
As a guard.
at this position.
Yes, position. Okay, like, yeah, I mean, he's the two-time All-Star, right?
Yeah.
It
should be more than that.
But he should be more than that. Like, how many guards come above him in the East before Harden came?
Fair.
How many?
Fair.
I can't name in love.
Fair.
And also, like, just a sleeper, Zach LaVine, though.
I mean, Zach LaVine is getting his flowers.
After Bradley Beal.
I get what you're saying. So, who do you have?
In terms of underrated player, I would have to go with Damian Lillard.
Underrated?
They rate him,
but you don't feel it's enough.
He's not in the news. This guy is a beast.
I get where Dan is coming from.
Because Stephen even mentioned, like, they talk about all these contenders. They don't really talk about Damian Lillard. But if you're looking at another underrated player too, I'd also say LaMelo Ball. He's a rookie now. A lot of people know about him. They know his stats. He's making some noise, but soon enough, LaMelo Ball is going to be an all-star, and he's going to take the league by storm.
Fair enough.
You heard it here first.
What do you feel about Zion, though?
Zion's overrated.
So?
Zion's overrated.
About Zion?
Yeah.
Zion is good, man. Like, Zion is crazy. To me, Zion has the ability to be a better Giannis. Like, you know when people play Giannis and they guard the paint and Giannis can't do anything, but Zion is shifty.
Yeah.
Because Zion was a point guard before he grew that big. Like, Zion has guard skills. So, I don't think you can necessarily do that for Zion, which is scary. Like, he shifts around you. Like, someone that big shouldn't be able to contort his body like that. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
6'6", so,
yeah, moving like that. So, and Zion is not a bad passer. Like, he could dish it out. So, I don't feel Zion is... I mean, I get why you can say Zion is overrated, but I don't feel it is, man.
But I feel he's good. I feel like he deserves... He's even an all-star, to be honest.
Yeah, it's an all-star he got in, no doubt. Like, his efficiency is crazy. Like, there was a game he played and it was like 70% from the field. Like, what? Are you dumb?
He's always been that way since high
school. So it's
but
crazy.
Before that time, right, people were saying that they are snobbing people, like for the All-Stars.
Yeah,
like
Devin Booker.
Yeah, I'm saying, but like when you say snob, right, can you remove someone from that position?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
To replace the person that they are snobbing. Now you're saying a snob.
Yeah, I get what you mean. So like no one can really win with the All-Star.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah. So,
just who I think people favor more or who they think is better. That's all.
That's fair. I totally get you guys on that. Like, this was an interesting episode. I really enjoyed everyone just picking their brains, like people say. I hate saying that. Picking people's brains. But thank you guys for coming on.
Daniel, I appreciate you. AY, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. So that's the end of today's episode, guys. You guys should subscribe. No, not subscribe. I mean, like, actually stream and share. And I mean, you guys start subscribing soon. YouTube channel coming soon. So that's it, man.
Stay late for the win.
Bye.